The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Okay, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Eric is indisposed at the moment.
I'm afraid he's been having GI problems and uncomfortable bloating.
But I'm sure he'll be out in a jiff.
Oh, here he is now.
Looking pale and shaken. Oh, you okay, little buddy?
The Eric Metaxas Show.
Yeah, I'm great, Todd. I'm just great. Thanks for blowing my cover. Speaking of blowing my cover, I can't believe this. We have in the studio the author of a new book titled Breaking Cover. Breaking Cover, My Secret Life in the CIA and What It Taught Me About What's Worth Fighting For. Michelle Rigby Assad in the studio. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Eric. I'm really excited to be here.
I think you're the first CIA agent I've ever had in here.
Might not know otherwise.
I know, that's right. And is this gentleman your current husband?
He's my current husband, yes. Husband number
this
one.
This is now, you don't have a microphone, so you forgive me for, but I always say that if you really believe in marriage, you can joke about stuff like that. You know what I mean? I always introduce my wife, this is my current wife. People say, what? Michelle, this is a big deal. I mean, you are, first of all, I want to say you're a person of faith. You're a Christian.
I am.
You were in the CIA. You met your husband in the CIA.
Actually, prior to the CIA.
Prior to the CIA. Yeah. Okay. The story of this book, I mean, I want the whole story. This is it's mind-blowing. So let's start at the beginning. How in the world does someone like you get involved in the CIA?
It was a long journey into the CIA, and it was not one that I even knew I was on. But I was very passionate about foreign affairs. I used to read National Geographic magazine, and I loved the pictures of these foreign places. And it intrigued me because it was so far outside anything that I knew, coming from a rural place in Central Florida. And so it inspired me to go on mission trips.
Yeah, you don't expect a little Christian girl growing up in Florida to become involved in counterterrorism and the CIA, and it's amazing. When you were in high school, what did you think you were going to do with your life? What did you want to do?
I either wanted to be a pharmacist or a pediatrician.
That's very funny. I mean, to compare somebody who's a pharmacist, like the life of a pharmacist behind the counter, to what you did with your life, what you've done so far, because you're still young. But okay, and so you get involved in this in the CIA. What is the story of the book Breaking Cover, just to start at the beginning?
So when you come from rural areas, you tend to think that in order to have a real impact in the world, that you need to be from the big city and come from money and have good family connections to help you get ahead. Yeah. And since I was from simple beginnings, I just didn't believe that I could have any kind of influence or impact. But I think my life demonstrates quite opposite of that. And so when you have a faith for me in God, and you're willing to go through the doors he opens for you, even if they're to very scary places, it's amazing where you will find yourself. And so one of the main messages of the book is that ordinary people can do extraordinary things when their faith is greater than their fear.
Well, amen to that, sister. So you... I can't get over this. So you went to college. Where'd you go to college? To
Palm Beach Atlantic University, Christian college in West Palm Beach.
Okay, no, I know it. I think I said to you earlier that I was their commencement speaker about 4 years ago. And going to college in Palm Beach, I mean, come on. That's not right. So that's kind of amazing. Now, did you meet Joseph there?
So I met Joseph in Central Florida earlier than college. We were both teenagers. Mm-hmm. And he had just come to the United States. He's originally a Christian from Egypt and had been denied an education because of his Christian activities.
In Egypt.
In Egypt.
I wish we had a microphone, but we're gonna let you. Okay.
And a church in Central Florida heard about what had happened to him and worked with the university to get him a full tuition scholarship.
To Palm Beach Atlantic.
To Palm Beach Atlantic University. Uh-huh. And so that changed the course of his life. Mm. And so we met through that church, that right. tiny little church in Central Florida. The pastor's son was my classmate. And so I met Joseph after a football game one night.
Unbelievable. Okay. And so how do you go from there to ending up in the CIA?
I know. People always say, well, did you just always dream of being in the CIA?
Right.
And I say, you would have to have some idea that that was possible.
Right.
And so I could never dream so right. big. So I just kept following my passion to understand foreign cultures. I was fascinated by the Middle East. I was fascinated by Islam and Arab culture.
What was your major at Palm Beach?
Political science.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I took every opportunity I could to get abroad. Mission trips, studying for a semester in Cairo. And so I kept pursuing this passion.
But that's so interesting. Studying for a semester in Cairo. Mm. Were you guys an item at that point?
We were dating at that point,
yes. You
were
yes. dating. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Egypt is on your radar. Yeah. In a couple of ways. Okay, so, and did you get your master's right after college, or did you do something after college?
We got married, moved to Washington, D.C., yeah. and then we got jobs up there, really simple jobs. And then, actually, I joke, Eric, I had a really hard time getting a job. It seemed like I just got all kinds of rejections while all my friends were getting these really amazing jobs on the Hill,
yeah.
you know, working with members of Congress, working for the Attorney General. Mm. And for the longest time, I kept saying, Lord, I just don't know where you're taking me, and I don't understand why I can't find my path. And there were long periods of time when I would pray and not hear back from him. But, you know, I never blamed him. I just held on to my faith.
I want to say that I had a similar experience, different details, but same experience. I was just floundering for years and years and years, even after I came to faith. Just years of, you know, being faithful, knowing God's going to lead me. He has a plan, but really wondering, Lord, when are you going to show me, or when are you going, you know, it's.
And why is it taking so long?
But I stood firm, and it's obvious that you did too. You just kept going.
Yeah. And I have to admit that there was some ego involved, and it was like, well, what's wrong with me? And that I can't seem to find my way forward and yeah. get a decent job. And my friends were just getting them left and right. And so then it's really funny. I decided to go to Georgetown to get my master's in Arab studies.
Okay. And let me just say, for the people listening, you got to be a genius to get into Georgetown. So you are obviously, you're not some humble little girl from Florida. You're super smart, because I know getting into Georgetown is incredible. So that is incredible.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And so I went to an informational session at Georgetown where the CIA had their recruiters, and they talked about what it was like to work for the CIA and right. what that job was. I found it interesting, but it certainly never struck me that I would be what they're looking for.
Right.
But I needed a job as we were.
Oh, this is hilarious. You needed a job so bad we were open to working for the Central Intelligence Agency.
Yeah, I threw my resume in that pile. But I tell people, I threw my resume into every pile.
Yeah.
And then was incredibly shocked 3 weeks later when I got a call from a CIA recruiter. Shocked.
Yeah.
And they were interested in me.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's so strange.
Yeah.
And so as my family kept saying, Michelle, what are you going to do with an Arab studies degree?
Right.
And I kept telling them, I don't know. I don't know where God's taking me. And so as it turned out, very long and windy road, Joseph actually got in just a little bit before me. He was going through training. I was in the pipeline to
Joseph
start training.
Got into the CIA training also.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's kind of confusing. It's laid out in the book, but he got in, I got in, I was in the pipeline to start, and the planes hit the World Trade Center on 9/11.
Okay.
And then finally everything made sense. And so I realized that all the rejection, all the doors slamming in my faces were meant to prevent me from taking jobs and taking me in a direction that I was not supposed to go in. And so here we have a native speaker of Arabic, a persecuted Christian from Egypt, and now an Arabist, pre-positioned and ready to go to the field
a
to fight the war on terror. A husband and
wife team. That's kind of, I imagine that's fairly rare to have a husband and wife team that's going, yeah. It's going to be in the CIA together. There's so much in the book. There's some really dramatic stuff. You were not just at a desk job. I mean, this is serious, incredibly serious work you did. So mm-hmm. I want to get into that. Before we go to the break, let me say again, we're filming this. You know that, right? So there's a camera there. I'm not scared. The book is Breaking Cover, Michelle Rigby Assad. When we come back, we're going to talk more with you about your secret life in the CIA and what it taught you about what's worth fighting for. Just very exciting. Folks, we'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Our website, MetaxasTalk.com.
Hi, I'm Victoria Hearst. My family's company, the Hearst Corporation, publishes a magazine aimed at young women called Cosmopolitan. Nicknamed Cosmo, it contains pornography that hurts kids. I oppose this and have asked the Hearst Corporation Board of Directors many times to label Cosmopolitan adult material so that it cannot be sold to anyone under 18. But the company has refused to do it. So now I have a campaign called Cosmo Hurts Kids. I'm working with legislators, law enforcement, and community groups to have all U.S. states' material harmful to minors laws enforced against Cosmo so that it cannot be sold to your kids. The National Center on Sexual Exploitation says Cosmopolitan magazine contains pornography and is harmful to minors. American Psychological Association studies prove that early exposure to sexualization has significant negative mental health consequences for underage girls. My website is CosmoHurtsKids.com. CosmoHurtsKids.com.
For young people who want to make the most of their summer, there's the Summer Academy at the King's College in New York City. At Summer Academy, inquisitive high schoolers learn how the great ideas of Western civilization apply to journalism, business, economics, and leadership, all from a biblical worldview. Plus, they'll enjoy world-famous landmarks and museums. One student called it the learning experience of a lifetime. To learn more, Google the King's College Summer Academy. That's the King's College Summer Academy.
Learn, love, lead. That's the heart of the student experience at Bob Jones University. Discover a university that's both academically challenging and spiritually encouraging. Learn from highly credentialed faculty who share your faith and approach everything from a biblical worldview. Be challenged to love God and others by getting outside your comfort zone and giving of yourself. Grow as a leader through opportunities on and off campus. Learn more online at bju.edu or call 800-252-6363. That's bju.edu or 800-252-6363.
Network with thousands of Christian media professionals, ministry representatives, pastors, and business leaders at Proclaim 18, the NRB International Christian Media Convention, February 27th through March 2nd in Nashville, Tennessee. Hear speakers including Kay Arthur, Rick Warren, Eric Metaxas, Luis Palau, Joel Rosenberg, Jim Caviezel, MyPillow founder Mike Lindell, and dozens more. Gain valuable insights by attending one or more of the convention's six industry session tracks, where industry leaders will speak on digital media, radio, TV, church media, film and entertainment, and international ministry. Experience NRB's massive exposition featuring tools and services to expand and enhance your organization, church, or ministry. From media and fundraising experts to publishers and tech companies, the exposition has what you're looking for. Also on the expo floor will be an exhibit from Museum of the Bible. Proclaim 18, February 27th through March 2nd. For all the details, visit nrbconvention.org.
You like freedom? I do. You like money? Well, I do too. If you like freedom and money, then you're going to love Freedom Checks. You see, over the next few months, an estimated $34.6 billion is up for grabs to anyone who stakes their claim. Yep, you heard that right. $34.6 billion. To get all the details, just go to www.claimfreedomchecks.com. Thousands of people are already lined up to cash in. Take Doug, for example. He's a 46-year-old from Joplin, Missouri, who's set to get a check for $24,075. And if Doug can do this, I've got a hunch that you can too. But here's the thing. If you want the chance to grab your full fair share of this $34.6 billion payout, you must have your ducks in a row by March 1st. So don't wait. Get over to www.claimfreedomchecks.com before the March 1st deadline. That's www.claimfreedomchecks.com.
Then I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming forward to carry me home. There was a band of angels a-coming after me. coming for to carry me home. Swing low.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking about the CIA. No, we're not talking about Comey and all that stuff. That's depressing. We're talking about something exciting and hopeful and wonderful. We're talking about a book called Breaking Cover. The author is Michelle Rigby Assad. She's right here in the studio. Michelle, again, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Eric.
And I apologize for not giving your husband a microphone. If you want to talk, we'll get you a microphone. But I know this is about your story, basically, even though you're both involved in the story. I'm curious, and my listeners are curious, when people hear about somebody joining the CIA, 9/11 happens, and you go into the field, into the Middle East, what did you do? In other words, I know you did dangerous stuff. What was it that you did?
So your job as an operations officer is to develop, recruit, and meet with sources. Because in terms of the counterterrorism mission, you have to debrief these sources for intelligence and try to stop attacks before they occur.
Okay, now you're using government ease, whatever. You say stuff like we have to debrief sources for intelligence. What you're talking about is these are jihadis.
Yes.
These are terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who want to murder Americans, who want to kill you and me if possible.
Exactly.
They are now in the custody of the U.S. They're captured on the battlefield.
So the ones we worked with were not detainees. So they were coming in, or they had agreed to work with the CIA on, you know, their own free will.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But somehow they're still jihadis? I don't get it.
Yeah. We call them penetrations of terrorist groups. So for whatever reason, they've agreed to work with the CIA to give you that insider information about other members of their group.
Why?
There's a variety of motivations. So for some, it's money.
Yeah.
For some, it's ego, because they think it's cool. There are some double agents, of course.
Yeah.
Then there are some who want to take out the competition. And
now, but just to be clear, this is, we're talking about the early 2000s, right?
Correct, yes.
And what country are you in?
A lot of different countries. I am allowed to specify that Baghdad was one of my tours.
Okay, so let me guess, Iraq? So you're over there. In part, you're in Iraq. Okay. And what war is going on? Because first we go to war with Iraq. We're in Afghanistan. Who are the, in other words, when you talk about people today, we talk about ISIS. There was no ISIS back then. Is it Al-Qaeda fighters that are coming to you?
So almost the entire time we were in the agency, we were dealing with Al-Qaeda and multiple tours.
How do you pronounce it?
Al-Qaeda.
I love the fact I've got an actual Arabist in the studio. Say it again.
Al-Qaeda.
I love that. Al-Qaeda.
Yes. And then in Iraq, of course, it was Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And so you have to clandestinely meet with your sources, because if anyone realizes what you're doing, your source could either get killed or you could get killed. And so we lived and worked in incredibly dangerous places. Many of the locations where we were huge targets of Al-Qaeda that was running around the streets in the places that we lived and served.
Okay. And so you are, I mean, at that time, are you technically a spy, a spook?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you grew up to become a spook for the United States of America. It's kind of it's an amazing thing. Okay,
yeah.
So you are debriefing them, which is to say you're talking to them in what language?
So for me, I have decent Arabic, but it's not awesome. So I require a translator, because every word is important and the nuances of what's being said
Just in full disclosure, my Arabic is also not awesome. I'm willing to say that. I'm not perfect. Okay, so you're there. You speak Arabic, but you have a translator.
Yeah.
And you're talking to jihadis
who
have come in. And what kind of information are you looking for? Anything?
So, you want to know the locations of terrorists, where are their safe houses, what are their plans, where are the IEDs or the car bombs that they're building and that they want to set off. You're trying to figure out where they're storing their weapons, who's in charge, who's making the choices about what their targets are going to be.
How many people were doing what you were doing?
A lot.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's tons of potential people to debrief, and you're looking for as much information as possible.
In the war zones, it's probably less than you think, but the U.S. government poured in a lot of resources in every agency to have decent coverage of the war zones.
And of the people doing what you're doing, how many of them, I mean, what percentage roughly would be women?
Well, that's a tricky question, because most of the women were funneled into this particular job that was operational but more behind a desk. And then men were funneled into the more field type job.
Uh-huh.
So I did have a lot of female colleagues,
yeah.
but it wasn't really accepted for us to run operations the way that like my husband was.
Right.
So it was a challenge to get myself into operations because it was generally thought that men could deal with these paternalistic guys from paternalistic cultures better than a female.
Well, I mean, I guess it makes some sense, doesn't it? In other words, if these guys have been raised in a patriarchal environment where they look down on women or they don't even dream that women would be their equals, it might be a reason for them to clam up.
Yeah, but and so that was the super interesting challenge because I looked at some of my male colleagues who had never been to the Middle East, didn't know a lick of Arabic, didn't know the difference between Sunni and Shia, and I was like, how is it that he can do a better job than me? I've been studying this backwards and forwards.
Right.
And so what I realized when I finally got into the debriefing room that I had to address immediately that guy's misassumptions about me in order to actually get him to say, okay, I'm going to work with her.
Mm-hmm.
She's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that entire dynamic required every little bit of knowledge I had about the intricacies of Arab culture.
Got it.
And so I would have to show them, like, in 5 minutes or less, I'm intelligent, I know Iraq, I understand the Arab world, I get you, and I'm smart. And once I had made this point, you could see their nonverbals showing how it just wasn't, wait a minute, this is not what I thought I was going to be dealing with. And the moment at which they decided, okay, I'm going to work with her. I like her. I'm going to work with her.
That's amazing.
It was an amazing, you know, turning point, really.
Okay, so the subtitle, the book is Breaking Cover. The subtitle is My Secret Life in the CIA and What It Taught Me About What's Worth Fighting For. What is that? Why is that the title of your book?
Two main messages here.
Yeah.
And the first thing is faith. The criticality of holding on even when you don't know what you're holding on for. The determination to hang in there long enough for God's plan for your life to unfurl. And believing that he is going to take you to an amazing place, just sticking with it is so critical. Success is not easy. It doesn't come fast. There's a lot of struggle and even rejection in that process. And so it's encouraging people to hang in there. And then the second thing that's worth fighting for is your own authenticity. Because if I had approached operations as many of my colleagues, I wouldn't have been able to get good intelligence out of these guys.
And what do you mean by that?
When I was me, when I allowed myself to be Michelle with my own unique personality and my own unique approach as a female,
right.
my strong intuition, my empathy for others,
right.
that's what enabled me to have these breakthroughs and to connect with these guys that I seem to have nothing in common with and then to do my job really well. And so the day that I realized this in Baghdad, I came out of a debriefing and I was like, oh, I did it. I'm actually good at this job.
Wow.
I was shocked.
Was there at any point where you felt that you were in danger?
Yes, a lot.
Why? In what sense?
So just in Iraq alone, we were being shelled every single day by insurgents. And
are you in what's called the green zone?
We were in the green
zone.
Okay,
so you're in the theoretically the safe zone, but...
Theoretically safe from like car bombs. However, boy, they got really good at shooting those rockets in and honing in on our compound. So they were just exploding all around us every single day, multiple times a day.
Okay, so you're literally in a war zone.
Yeah.
And you know that sometimes they hit their targets.
Yeah, and they hit a lot of targets. And so that was extremely frightening. And we did a lot of praying as we hid in the bunkers and, you know, said, Lord, you know, please protect us right now.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And then there, you know, my first tour, I had a situation where I was living in a country where it's a kidnapping capital of the world. One of them, anyway.
Obviously, Mexico. Just kidding. Yeah.
And so I was in a situation in which I was close to being ambushed and had to use my CIA training to get out of that situation. I was keenly aware that people like us became targets of opportunity.
But how did you know you were likely to be ambushed, and what do you mean by CIA training?
My car was being surrounded by throngs of men. There was a gentleman in front of my car who who stopped in front of me and wouldn't get out of the way.
Doesn't sound like he was actually a gentleman.
No, he
wasn't. Okay, so...
And there was a car behind me, and so suddenly I was stuck.
So you're aware of what's happening. You're being boxed in, and
they're being boxed in. And I knew that as a target of opportunity, I could be taken and then sold to Al-Qaeda, which had happened several times, and nobody ever came back from that. And so Joseph and I would say, you just cannot get taken. Do anything possible to
nobody
not get taken.
Nobody ever came back from that.
No, they never lived. And so I was keenly aware of the danger. And in that moment, I suddenly realized it was either me or him. And the CIA had taught us that you have to do whatever you can to get off the X where the attack is initiated against you. And so I ended up having to use my vehicle as a weapon to
when we come back,
come
I want to hear more about this. Folks, I'm talking to Michelle Rigby Assad. The book is Breaking Cover. Breaking Cover. We're going to be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
All these wasted years, and I thought I was so wise.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-651-4888 now. That's 800-651-4888 for your free reputation. Analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-651-4888 to learn more. 800-651-4888. That's 800-651-4888. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Folks, it's Eric Metaxas Show. We are talking with Michelle Rigby Assad in the studio. Her book is Breaking Cover, My Secret Life in the CIA and What It Taught Me About What's Worth Fighting For. Michelle, you served for 10 years, and at one point you got involved in a mission with your husband. Joseph is here in the studio, leading teams to aid Christian refugees, including a rescue mission to Iraq that was featured on ABC's 2020. Can we talk about that? Because that
sure.
sounds daring. And actually, now, before we talk about that, I want to finish what we were just talking about a second ago. You had to use your car, you said, as a weapon.
Yeah,
so before
so
we
had,
get to the
yeah.
to this part, let's finish that. So you're stuck now. Are you driving?
So I was driving. I was by myself.
Okay, that was not clear. You're driving by yourself. You see what's happening.
Yeah, and so my car is about to be surrounded. And I knew that I couldn't wait until I was surrounded by hundreds of men, that I needed to push through this person in front of my car.
Before you go on with this, you know that they were trying to kidnap you.
Not necessarily. What they were doing is they were interested to see what was inside the car. And I had been in this country for a long time and was keenly aware that they would surround a car. Like if after a car crash, hundreds of people would surround the car. And that became extremely dangerous because then you would be recognized as a Westerner And then the risk would be incredibly high for you to be kidnapped at that point.
Okay, so you knew that even if they didn't know what they're doing at first, they're going to figure it out in a second. They're going to look at your face and recognize you as not a local.
Exactly.
And now you are worth a lot of money.
Exactly. And if you wait till too long, then it's too late. So I knew I had to act immediately. And the CIA had provided us excellent ambush training exactly for those types of scenarios. And so I ended up having to do the thing you hope you'll never have to do, which is hit this gentleman with my car, not hard, just enough to, you know, knock him over, and took twice before he'd actually move.
Because he didn't believe you would do it.
He didn't think I was serious, and I was yelling in Arabic, yelling in English, get out of the way. And finally, after the second time, he took me seriously, he finally moved. And so I realized that day how very close I'd come to a really unfortunate situation.
My gosh. And again, with your husband, Joseph, sitting here, what a dangerous... I mean, when you think of your daughter... your wife in a situation like this, in a country like this, where they have no respect for women, it's extraordinary. But you managed, obviously, to get out of that.
Yeah. Thank God. By the grace of God.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so I want to go back to – so you're serving – you said 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened? What did you do that takes you to work, you know, rescuing refugees?
So after 10 years, I felt God specifically calling me to share my story. And I knew intuitively that I had to do that in true name versus pseudonym. And then I knew that that meant I had to leave the CIA because I could never write a book and get it cleared unless I'd left and gotten permission to drop cover. So that was a big deal.
To drop cover.
Yes.
Okay.
Because they don't have to allow you to do that.
Right.
Yeah. So I started writing the book after God called me in faith, not even knowing whether the CIA would actually drop my cover. And so Joseph and I have been working as international security consultants ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And we were approached in 2015 by a group of Americans that were trying to figure out ways to support the persecuted church in the Middle East. And they were in charge. They were in touch with a group of people who said, we can no longer stay here. ISIS had taken over Mosul and a lot of the ancient Christian villages in northern Iraq, mm-hmm. and said, convert or die. They fled to Erbil. And so then we spent months trying to find a place, you know, conducting diplomacy with foreign countries and governments who can take a group of people. And Joseph and I used our CIA skills to vet these people to make sure that they weren't ISIS, you know, posing as Christians.
Right.
And eventually only one country out of dozens that we approached said yes. And it was just a miraculous process and a miraculous event. So on December 10th, 2015, we successfully airlifted 149 Iraqi Christians out of Erbil, out of northern Iraq, to their new homes in Slovakia.
Wow. And was Erbil surrounded at that time by ISIS?
Yeah, the ISIS front lines were about 30 kilometers away from Erbil where we were.
Wow. And why only 149? Were they the ones that chose to go, or how does that work?
We had probably thousands of people vying to leave, to get on this, you know, magical list to leave Iraq. And that was the number that the Slovakian government said, we need to make sure we can integrate these people.
Oh, so I
let's
see.
Start
so they
with,
only had so many spots.
Mm-hmm.
And to airlift them out. And so this was on ABC's 2020.
Yeah, it was amazing. We had a camera crew with us the entire time to capture this incredible event, which almost fell apart because the Russians were shooting missiles across Iraqi airspace into Syria against ISIS. So they shut down Iraqi airspace and our whole evacuation got canceled. And so we were scrambling on the ground trying to figure out how long airspace would be closed and how to get in another private plane to fly us out. And so it was incredibly stressful and very unnerving.
It's unbelievable. And what are you all doing now? I don't remember.
We're still working as consultants.
But in the U.S. or abroad?
We work all over the world, wherever we're needed. But these days, it's so nice to be home in the United States of America where nobody's targeting us.
Yeah.
It's great.
I can just imagine that if you've got these kinds of credentials in the CIA counterterrorism, you're in high demand these days.
Unfortunately.
And the two of you are not going to... you're not going to be unemployed anytime soon, which is good and bad, right? All right. Well, we're talking to Michelle Rigby Assad. The book is Breaking Cover, My Secret Life in the CIA, What It Taught Me About What's Worth Fighting For. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We'll be right back. It's just another day.
Hey, Eric.
I want to tell you about Relief Factor.
Please do.
I take Relief Factor every day. And in fact, I take it right now, but I can't because I'm doing this commercial.
Oh.
But honestly, every day I take Relief Factor. It is, these are all botanicals. They're natural. They're people all, I talk to people all the time. They say, I've got this ache and this pain. And I say, have you tried Relief Factor? And they say, no. I say, listen, as your friend, $19.95, you get the quick start pack. You go to relieffactor.com. You will know at the end of 3 weeks, probably before, whether it works for you. But it works for tons of people. It works for me. It's why I take it. It's all natural. You don't have to worry about toxicity. For example, Michael from Connecticut writes in. He says, Relief Factor helped to almost completely eliminate my elbow pain when I could not find any other solution. It's a great product. It's helped with a lot of other aches and pain. Since I started Relief Factor, I feel like I've got more energy and generally feel better. Holy cow. Folks, I don't want to promise too much, but I will tell you, for many people, Relief Factor is a life changer. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
For so long, I'd had that little hidden sin. It was a secret, no one knew. So I'd convince myself it really wasn't hurting anyone, but what if my wife or kids found out? Harmless? It would have ruined me. The problem was, who could I talk to? I needed someone I could confide in, but this was so personal. Who could I trust?
He found someone to trust, and so can you. We're Faithful Counseling, the world's largest platform for faith-based professional counseling. All of our licensed and experienced counselors are qualified and certified by the state board, and many are trained in addiction counseling. But more importantly, we share your Christian values. Available 24/7 by text, messaging, phone, and video conferencing, all from the comfort of your own home. Try it for the first week free by going to faithfulcounseling.com and use the invite code word TRUST. That's faithfulcounseling.com and use the invite code word TRUST to get your first week free. Faithful Counseling, we're here when you need us.
NRB's International Christian Media Convention, Proclaim 18, is February 27th through March 2nd in Nashville, Tennessee. Network and learn from experts in digital media, radio, TV, church media, film and entertainment, and international ministry. Hear from inspirational speakers like Kay Arthur, Rick Warren, Eric Metaxas, Jim Caviezel, MyPillow founder Mike Lindell, and experience NRB's massive exposition. Proclaim 18, February 27th through March 2nd. Details at nrbconvention.org.
Learn, love, lead. That's the heart of the student experience at Bob Jones University. Discover a university that's both academically challenging and spiritually encouraging. Learn from highly credentialed faculty who share your faith and approach everything from a biblical worldview. Be challenged to love God and others by getting outside your comfort zone and giving of yourself. Grow as a leader through opportunities on and off campus. Learn more online at bju.edu or call 800-252-6363. That's bju.edu or 800-252-6363.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Texas show. We're talking to Michelle Rigby Assad. New book is Breaking Cover, My Secret Life in the CIA and What It Taught Me About What's Worth Fighting For. Michelle, you are a Christian and you take your faith seriously. You're not a Christian in the sense that, oh, you're not a, a Muslim or you're not an atheist. You're an actual Christian who wants to live out your faith. So to be in these dangerous situations, to be dealing with people that are enemies of the United States, that are dangerous and so on, how do you integrate that? Because I think there are a lot of people have this ridiculous view of Christianity that it means that you're some kind of milquetoast, you know, I get along with everybody. They don't understand that that's not quite right. But how did you integrate those two things?
Yeah, so for me, it was extremely helpful to be someone who my faith was very important to me because I was dealing with these guys who, if they met you on the street, they'd rather kill you than work with you. But my faith has always taught me empathy for others. And so in order to deal with these guys, you had to not be fearful of them. You had to see them as human beings. And we're all in need of redemption, these guys as well. And so you have to see them in that way, because if I don't treat him as an individual, as a human being, then I don't know how to communicate with him. And so I had to figure out with each and every person that I met with or I dealt with, what's going to make sense to him? Is he educated? And they would always assume I was a Christian. I would never hide that. And funny enough, they actually respected it, which sounds very strange. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you actually had something that you were fighting for was what they respected.
Well, I can imagine that many people in the CIA are not Christians. In other words, that they're just, whether they're pagans or agnostics, but their faith, it doesn't really figure into their lives.
Right.
So how would these people that you're interrogating know that you're a Christian?
First of all, they assume that every white person is a Christian.
Right.
Yeah.
How mistaken on their part, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. And okay. Also, you only white people are Americans. There's also that assumption. When we would meet people in social situations and you're developing relationships with them,
yeah.
It eventually would come out. And instead of hiding it, I would just be very open about it and very confident in it. And it would confuse them at first. And then you could see them like recalculating, well, oh, wait, but so she's not scared to say what she believes in. Mm-hmm. You know, and thankfully in those situations, because I was a Westerner, it was respected. Of course, there's parts of the world when you say that. It can mean a life or death situation. And a lot of Middle Eastern Christians live out their faith every day in societies that it's definitely looked down upon.
Right.
But I found that I was able to kind of push it forward a little bit, especially as you're trying to get to know people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they felt more comfortable putting their life in your hands. Somehow they realized that, you know, you're going to be a person of your word.
That's a pretty big deal.
Because when they give you information about the enemy, and if it's traced back to them, it could get them killed. So ultimately, they have to believe that you're a person of your word and that you're capable of protecting them and doing everything possible to keep them safe. So you have to establish that level of trust.
That's quite amazing. I think I often have thought that the best of America is Christian in the sense that our values, our respect for those with whom we disagree, our willingness to fight for someone to be able to speak even if we disagree with them.
Right.
All of these ideas are fundamentally Christian.
Yes.
Even though many Christians don't live it out, or even though the United States has often not lived it out. And I think that that is important. I mean, when we heard about the horrors at Abu Ghraib and other things, I thought to myself, we should make an example of the people who did that, because that is not who we are.
Yes.
And that when people see that you're fighting for freedom, that you're really fighting for something higher, it's not just about defeating your enemies, they do respect it. Something yeah. changes in a way.
Absolutely certain. And in the Middle East, it's very important to be upfront about that and not apologize for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They respect strength and they respect confidence. And so you've got to learn to show that in your interactions.
Wow, that's actually quite interesting, because you lived it, and you're an Arabist, right?
Right.
Is that what the
yeah.
term is?
Yes.
You're an Arabist. And what I find interesting is that in foreign policy under the Obama administration, it does seem that his administration had a naive view
yeah.
of Arab culture, and they believed that if you don't show strength, somehow they will respect it, or but you know that culture, and that doesn't compute with those folks.
It doesn't work in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Yeah. They want to know where you're coming from. And it's okay to have a debate. In fact, it's a very tribal thing to debate each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they respect that. And if you don't stand up for what you believe, and if you're not very like certain about it, they will not respect you and they don't want to deal with you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Do you speak, do you have any occasion in your life now where you speak Arabic, or do you have friends from that culture?
I speak a little bit, but my Arabic has disintegrated quite a bit. If you ask my husband, he'll tell you that's the case. You know, when you're not living abroad and you're not using it on a daily basis, you lose a lot of your vocabulary.
Yeah. I assume, Joseph, you speak Egyptian.
Right?
He speaks a lot of different dialects.
Several dialects of Egyptian?
Of Arabic. Yeah.
I don't even speak one. But you know what? Anyway, there's time. There's time to learn these things. What else do we... how does your story end? I mean, in the book.
So essentially the story ends with the last few chapters of the book are about this evacuation that I described earlier, taking these Iraqi Christians to Slovakia. Mm. And so it really ends on quite an exciting and high note about being able to see the path that you have walked that made no sense to you in those moments, and how God weaved together these life experiences and these really crazy and weird skill sets in order for him to move and to show his hand on this earth, and to see how he can bring all that together in the service of a grand design is amazing.
Well, it is amazing, and that's something I talk about a lot in my own life. If people need to know that God is real, and that we can trust him. You've lived it, basically, and that's the story of your book. We're going to be back for a final segment with Michelle Rigby Assad. The book is Breaking Cover, My Secret Life in the CIA, What It Taught Me About What's Worth Fighting For. This is the Eric Metaxas Show, our website, MetaxasTalk.com.
You do something to me that I can't explain.
Hey folks, this is Eric Metaxas, and you know I believe America was founded as a beacon of liberty for the world. As I write in my book, If You Can Keep It, if we are to keep this republic, we have to see it afresh and really understand what it is we're keeping. If you have a heart for this important idea, I want to extend a personal invitation for you to join me at the 2018 Remember America Speaker Series on Friday, April 6th. At 6:30 p.m. in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, at the Lancaster County Convention Center. This event is sponsored by Dayspring Christian Academy and reminds us of our unique heritage of liberty that was founded upon biblical principles and calls us to let our light so shine for others to see. Join me for an inspirational night that brings a powerful message of hope with inspiring media, choral performances, and me, Eric Metaxas, at the Remember America Speaker Series. Tickets and sponsorships are available at dayspringchristian.com or call 717-344-5584. Visit dayspringchristian.com. That's dayspringchristian.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hello, baby, hello. Haven't seen your face for a while. Have you quit doing time for me? Are you still the same spoiled child? Hello, I said hello. Is this the only place you thought to go? Am I the only man you ever had? Or am I just the last surviving friend?
Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. A little Elton John while we're talking about the CIA and counterterrorism. Obviously, two things that go together. We're talking to Michelle Rigby Assad. Michelle, with just a few minutes left, what else can we say? Anything you want to talk about? Actually, you said something just a moment ago. Share what you were sharing with me.
Yeah, so I like to speak to college classrooms and young people, and I think there's this perception out there, especially amongst younger generation, that success should come easily and quickly, and that something's wrong with them. You know, they see all their friends and their Instagram photos appearing successful,
yeah,
and it makes you think that something's wrong with you. And I think it's really important to get the message out there that if you're going to be, if you're going to have an impact in the world, you have to become really good at something. And so my direction to young people is figure out what your passion is and then do everything you can to develop that knowledge or an expertise in something. And eventually the right doors will open to you at the right time. But in those periods of dryness, when you're not sure where you're going, just learn, learn, learn. Become really good at something. I couldn't have been a good intelligence officer without having traveled to the Middle East, studied the Middle East, asked Joseph 1,000 questions about Arabic culture. And so I would like to tell your listeners to don't be scared of the struggle, or don't be scared of doing the hard things, because that's where you really discover what your strengths are, and God really can reveal to you how you can make an impact in the world.
Wow. You should do public speaking. You obviously do public speaking, right?
Is that
what you do a lot? I mean, are you doing a lot of traveling and speaking?
I love it. I absolutely love talking to people of all ages to encourage them wherever they are in their walk.
And if people want to contact you or ask you to come to speak to their group or something, how do they find you? What's the best way?
So you can find me on my website. Mm-hmm. It's my three-part name, Michelle with one L, Rigby Assad, ASSAD.com. Mm. And from there, you can contact me through my website or on Facebook, Michelle Rigby Assad.
Are you on Twitter?
I am, but I don't use it very much.
Good for you. It's dumb. No, it's so funny. But yeah, you must do a lot of public speaking, because just the idea that you're a woman who is in the CIA with counterterrorism training and stuff, that's such an extraordinary thing, such a door opener for you now to get to talk to people. And especially about faith and all that kind of stuff. So you you guys travel together, or
you guys get
to be together?
Yeah.
See, that's good.
We do a lot of speaking together, individually, all the above. And it's a great platform. No one from the CIA has ever used this incredible platform to inspire.
To inspire.
Right.
Wow.
And so it's really
that.
Exciting to be the person to break through and to do that.
Well, yeah, and especially with everything that's been going on with the CIA lately, to know that the people who are actually doing the work in the CIA, not the people at the top, but you're doing extraordinary work that takes tremendous skill. I mean, just to hear you talk about it now, it is fantastic. Well, I hope a lot of people just listening to this will want to contact you, because you've got an amazing story. We just skimmed the surface here. Michelle and Joseph, thank you so much for being my guests on the Eric Metaxas Show.
Thank you for having us.
Well, my pleasure. The book, folks, it's Breaking Cover. Breaking Cover. If you look up Breaking Cover, you can certainly figure out how to spell Michelle Rigby Assad. That's the program. Thanks for listening.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth,
whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.